I'd like to welcome each and every one of you here to our worship service here at the Stony Island Church of Christ. If you're a visitor, we certainly, as mentioned earlier, consider you our honored guest. If there's anything that we say this morning that you believe is contrary to the word of God, we would certainly consider you a friend to point that out to us so that we might correct that before you leave this building. Our lesson this morning is dealing with the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh. Oftentimes this subject has, I'm certain, been talked about, but I want to take you over to Genesis, the sixth chapter, for a moment. And we want to go there and we want to find out what these works of the flesh, what is it talking about? And we're going to go into a little bit more specifics with those as our lesson goes on. The fifth chapter of Genesis. The works of a flesh, we'll find out later in our lesson, is an attitude of mind that we as Christians and others have. And we certainly want to make sure that we look at this in depth so that we will know what we need to do to make sure that we don't develop this attitude of mind that starts out early in Genesis, the sixth chapter and the fifth verse. And it says, "Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. The Lord was sorry," the King James Version says, repented. But the word, and I'm using the New American Standard, "And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved in his heart." If you look at this, it's an attitude of mind that men began to have on the earth. Their thoughts were continuously on doing evil. And oftentimes in our society today, and oftentimes sometimes in the church, we run into individuals in the church whose minds are that way. And what we want to do this morning is talk about that. So if you have that attitude of mind, we can do something before the end of this service to correct this attitude of mind. And we're going to certainly see in just a moment when we go back to Galatians, the fifth chapter, and we get down to the 21st, to maybe the 24th, 25th verse, it says, "Those with that attitude of mind shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And if you're here this morning, I am certain in your heart, you have the attitude of mind that you want to inherit the kingdom of God. And you certainly want to know or get rid of or purge those things that would prevent one from entering into the kingdom of heaven. But we see here that the attitude of mind of man here was that his mind was continuously on evil. Go up to Genesis, the 18th chapter, if you will, and the 20th verse, and I'll give you time to get there. And the 20th verse. "There were all kinds of things that were going on in Sodom and in Gomorrah." And you know, oftentimes we think that God is asleep or he's not awake and he's not cognizant of what's going on. But we can see here that God knows what's going on in this earth sometimes when we think he's not awake. And it says, "And the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me. And if not, I will know." God was concerned about what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And we don't need to really go through this story. Many of us know the things that was going on here. The sodomy, the homosexuality, the other type of things that were going on. And we're going to talk about those things in a little bit more detail. If you turn your Bibles back up. By the way, everybody have their Bible with them today? I don't want you to take my word. I only saw a few people holding the Bibles up. Okay, good. Well, make sure you open your Bible up. We're going to Galatians 5 and 19. Because I don't want you to take Brother Stewart's thoughts for anything that he says this morning. I want you, if I say something that's incorrect, you need to point it out to me. I know Brother Bernstein will. And I know Brother Herman will. I want anybody, we want to make sure that what we're talking about up here is coming from the Word of God and is not my opinion or something that I want to communicate to you or convince you is accurate. In Galatians, the fifth chapter, let's go through here and look at this. And I want to talk about a few things, and it talks about the works of the flesh. You know, oftentimes we think that we are doing things correctly. And in essence, we really aren't doing things correctly, and that's why we have the Word of God to help us. It says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evidenced, which are immorality." Now that's the first one they talk about here. Now in the King James Version, it says fornication. If you go into your into your Bibles or your books, you'll see that the original word there is talking about sexual immorality. In other words, if it just meant fornication, that means it would have been okay for what? For adultery, bestiality, and the other things that were going on during this time. But this word talks about all kinds of sexual immorality. And we're going to find out a little bit later, in about 5 or 10 minutes, where Jesus even took it a step further than he did when in the law of Moses as it relates to this. But this is talking about fornication and adultery. In other words, if you are participating in these kinds of things, you've got to turn away from them if you intend to be in the kingdom of heaven one day. Let's look at the next thing it talks about here in the 19th verse. And it goes on, it talks about impurity, sensuality. In the King James Version, it uses a word that I want to talk about for just a moment, and it talks about lasciviousness. Lasciviousness. And here in the New American Standard, it says sensuality. But what this word is talking about, have you ever seen people that carry themselves around in a lewd fashion? You might see some of them with halter tops. You might see some people, men that wear tight pants. You might see those kinds of things. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and tell you need to have your dress 6 inches below your knee. Okay? Because when I was coming up, it was by the ankle. But I don't think it has to do with any measurements. I think it has to do with an attitude of mind, Brother Lee, that we ought to have when we go around. And I think that's what it's talking about here when it talks about lasciviousness. If you've seen some movies, you know exactly what I'm talking about. People who carry themselves around in that particular manner. Now, if I offend you because your dress is over 6 inches above your knees, I make no apology for it. Because the Bible talks about a Christian woman is supposed to have a certain air about herself. If you look at the last book of Proverbs, it shows you what the ideal wife or woman is all about. But we want to talk about those things because we're here because we want to inherit the kingdom of heaven, is my assumption. So we need to find out what God likes and what he doesn't like. And we're going to talk about that some more. Let's go on to the next one here, and it talks about impurity, sensuality, idolatry. We don't have a lot of idolatry that goes on today. However, in this time when this book, the Galatians in southern Galatia, they were going into these temples and participating in different types of worships, which I've talked about before. But I want to talk about today how we can get involved in idolatry. You know, some of us worship our cars. That's a form of idolatry. Some of us worship our homes. That's a form of idolatry. Anything that we put above God is a form of idolatry, and we have to be careful of that. We have to put God first. In Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added unto you." And we have to have that particular attitude of mind. Sorcery. We don't have a lot of sorcery going on today, but I don't know. I was at a congregation one time, I think I mentioned this before, and we were painting the church. And we had a large ladder up there, and I walked under the ladder, and this one brother said that that was bad luck to go around it. And, of course, that next Sunday I preached a lesson on that. But we have to be careful. We have to put our trust in God. When we start believing in some of this witchcraft and some of these other things, the Ouija board, and I know that there's nobody. You remember years ago when she was a good singer, and she had a sister that was singing, but she had this psychic hotline show. She had this show, Dionne Warwick, okay? And did you know that I know of Christians that were calling up that hotline to find out what was going on? We should be putting our trust and our faith in God, not into some psychic hotline, nor the expense I heard that is associated with that attitude of mind. It costs something to do that. So when you talk about this sorcery and we talk about this, now enmities. I don't know what New American Standard uses the word enmities. Let me tell you about enmities. Have you ever run into somebody that's always wanting to be in some mess? That's what this word is talking about. They always want to keep something going. They don't want to see any peace. In fact, they get nervous when things are calm in the church. And they want to keep some mess going, okay, because first of all, it shines a spotlight on them. Because they certainly are the one that are the fuse. So we want to make sure that we don't have this attitude of mind in the Lord's church, lest we're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Enmities. The next thing it talks about is strife. Strife is pretty, you know, Paul does a good job. He talks about it over in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, where you had these various factions that had developed in the Lord's church. And we have certain individuals that like to have strife going on. In other words, if I can keep Brother Lee at Brother Paul's throat, okay, and then if I can keep Brother against Brother Robinson, and we can keep the strife going on, a lot of people like that. If you're that kind of person, we need to repent of that and we need to purge that. Otherwise, we're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And it goes on and it talks about factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. Some translations don't use the word carousing. It uses the word revelings. Or other translations use the word parties. But when I was in college, there were a lot of young people that they would get together on Friday night, and their whole intention was to go out and get drunk. And that's what this word is talking about. People that go out with the intentions on sinning. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but that's what it's talking about. Revelings, carousings, drinking parties, with the whole purpose of going out and sinning. And I'm not going to go into any detail with those. I'm certain that many of you know exactly what we're talking about. And I had a fellow that he called me the other day, and his daughter had gotten a 4-year scholarship to a college out east. And she had come into some tough circumstances, and he was saying that she was calling him to come talk to her because she was running into this problem. This freshman year of college for these kids is tough, especially for young Christian kids. And by the way, don't take those babies out. Let those babies cry. Don't you love it in a congregation when you got a bunch of babies crying? I think it's great. And I think it's a concern when you don't hear any babies crying in a congregation. That sends another message as well. But he had mentioned the problems that his daughter was having. And I told him he needed to get a ticket and go out there right away. You need to go out there. You can't wait till something happens. If something's going on with your kid, you need to get out there and see about them. Okay? Because when they call you up and tell you, I'm having this problem, Dad, I need to talk to you, and this kind of thing, you need to get out there and see them. Because these kids are having a tough time in these colleges with all of these things that are going on in colleges. But let's move on with our lesson. And we talk about this next thing, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we're looking at some of these things. Now, there are other lists of these things. Turn your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and the 16th verse, and you find another list of these things. And the reason I'm pointing out these things is we need to be aware of these. And when we run into these situations, we need to be able to go to our Bibles and deal with these particular subjects so we can put those in order. And it says, do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. Let me tell you what this verse, you know, a lot of people, especially our friends in the Church of God in Christ and some of the sanctified churches, they believe that this scripture is talking about the Holy Spirit dwelling in someone. Or they call it the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever talked to some people. Some people don't believe that you're a member of that church until you're able to speak in tongues or have some type of experience during their worship service that you're not truly a member. But I want to let you know what this verse is talking about as far as I'm concerned. And I want you to get ready to go over to Acts 2:38. I'm going there in a minute. Okay? But this spirit, okay, or this temple that we have in, everything that we do represents the church. In other words, if I go out here on 71st and Stony Island and act the fool, okay, all right, it's a reflection on the Church of Christ. If I go out here and rob a bank, okay, it's a reflection on the church. You get my point? That's what's talking about here. We represent. Our bodies are a temple. Those things that we do have a direct reflection. You look over in verse back, Acts 2:38. It talks about you shall receive. And I'm looking at the last part of that verse. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, is it talking about miraculous gifts that we will get when we become Christians? Or did it mean that in the first century and it no longer means that? Turn your Bibles, if you will, now over to John, the 16th chapter. We're going to be flipping through the Bible. Because, there's nothing
All glory and honor be to God. It's nothing about me. Look at John, the 16th chapter and the 6th verse. And I want you to look at this with particular attention because we've got a point that we're going to. And we need to know what we need to do in order to ward off these works of the flesh. Now, Jesus, before he was leaving us here in the 16th chapter, he made a couple of promises to us. And if you look at the 5th verse there in the 16th chapter, it says, "But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things, you sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he will convict in the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you no longer will see me." And if you drop down to the 13th verse, it says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come." So the Holy Spirit has the responsibility of communicating to us the truth. And when we become Christians and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to read the Word of God and do those things which are contained in there. And that's what this is all talking about. We all have this. We need to be reading our Bibles if we want to be able to walk in the Spirit. That's the only way that we'll have the information necessary to do it. And we're going to talk about some other. I want you to turn over to the 39th chapter and the 11th verse of the book of Genesis. We're going to go back to Genesis for just a moment. Genesis 39 and 11 and verses 12 as well. And we see a particular situation where Joseph had been elevated in Potiphar's house. And the verse there in the verse 11, to paraphrase what's going on, we'll see that Potiphar's wife was interested in him. And Joseph wasn't interested in sinning. You'll notice how I guarded my words. And I'm going to tell you why I did in just a moment. And you'll go on to read there, and you'll see where she tried to put him in a trap, didn't you? She wanted him to lie with her. But Joseph didn't want to lie with her. And I don't believe that Joseph did not want to lie with her. And I'm going to tell you why I believe that, Brother Bernstein, because you're going to see in a moment where he did what? He ran. He didn't walk away. He ran. And she caught part of his garment. And we all get into it. You know, sin is good. Think about it for a minute. We wouldn't do sin unless it was good. If it was bad, we wouldn't do it. But I want you to see this example here. And if you go on to read this passage of Scripture, you'll find out why Joseph didn't do this. And I think it goes back to another thing that we have to understand when we're married. We have a contract between God, our wife, and ourselves. And the only one that can break that contract. He said, "Well, Brother Stewart, the law is now I can leave my wife because we're incompatible." Watch it now. I'm getting ready to get in trouble. I'm going to give you some scriptures on it, okay? And if I say the wrong thing, show it to me. If you want to get ahead of me, go over to Romans, the 7th chapter, if you want to, and you can go to Matthew 19 and 9 and get ready. But we have to understand it's a contract between the three of us. And the only way that this contract can be broken is by God's word. Well, Brother Stewart, it says, Matthew 19:9. If you want to talk about it later on, we can talk about it. But make sure you bring your Bible with me. We don't just want to pontificate about it. Now, everybody has a different kind of situation, and I'm not here to offend anybody or make anybody feel uncomfortable. But we've got to let young people know about it. That's the thing I try to tell my kids. You know, and oftentimes preachers don't talk about this because they, we got to talk about it for these kids. I got a nephew, I told you once before, been married 4 times. He doesn't speak to me, taking me off Facebook, everything. He don't even talk to me anymore, okay? Because I ain't got on his nerves. But how can a person be married 4 times? At some point, you have to say to yourself, there's something wrong with you. At some point. Well, Brother Stewart, they were all for sexual. I don't know. 4 times? How? Now, you know I get on my wife's nerves sometimes, okay? And I know she's probably wanted to get rid of me several times in 40 years, okay? But we realize that it's a contract between what? between God, her, and me. We made a contract. And the only way we can break that contract is if we break that contract based on God's word. I've talked enough about that. Let's move on. But I wanted you to see about Potiphar's situation. Potiphar's wife was walking in the flesh. She wanted to satisfy those desires of her flesh. Joseph, on the other hand, wanted to be what? In the spirit. He wanted to do what was right. Have you ever been in a situation, and I know I have, where you're getting ready to get in a situation that might be sinful, and then there's a little devil on this side of your shoulder, and it says, Stuart, go ahead. You deserve it. You've been a good boy all these years. The Lord will understand if you sin just this one time. And plus, even if you sin, the God's going to forgive you. Go on, sin, boy. Then you got this other little angel on the other shoulder saying, Brother Stuart, you know what's right. You know the Bible. You're getting up in that pulpit every day preaching to people. And you're going to go out and act like that? Have you ever had that warring that goes on in you? That devil on one shoulder, an angel? That's what we're talking about, these works of the flesh. And we're talking about being in the spirit. That's what we're talking about this morning, brothers and sisters. How we can make sure that we are involved in righteous living. And making sure that we're not walking in the flesh. There are numerous passages. There are other examples that we can go through. And but I want to make sure that we understand when we're walking in the flesh. I think sometimes people who claim to be members of the Lord's church think that what they're doing is in the spirit when it's really walking in the flesh. Now, let me tell you, turn your Bibles over to Proverbs, the 6th chapter, if you will. And I believe it's about the 16th verse. And we want to go there. And I've talked about this before. We need to know what God hates. This is what God hates. God hates these things. And he hates even a seventh thing. He says, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceives wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Now, I want to talk about this one just really briefly. And I've talked about this before. Spreading strife among brothers. If I know Brother Lee, I'm going to pick on Brother Lee. I do the elders every week. I'm going to give the elders a break this week. We're going to pick on Brother Lee and Paul. If I know something on Brother Lee, I have a responsibility to go to Brother Lee and try to correct that. I don't want to go to Brother Paul and tell him about Brother Lee. Brothers and sisters, we have got to watch spreading strife. Well, it's the truth. It's his truth. I need to go to him and try to get that thing straight. And brothers and sisters, I can't tell you how true that is. We need to do that to keep strife out of the Lord's church or potential strife out of the Lord's church. And be about our Father, Jesus' Father's business. And that's spreading the word, trying to make disciples, and preaching and teaching the word. We spend too much time dealing with personal situations when we should be out spreading God's word. And we get caught up in that. And we have to be careful of those things. But those are the seven things that God really hates. And in the 18th verse, we're back in Galatians, the 5th chapter, in the 18th verse. We're going to drop down to where it says, verse 22, where it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, godliness, faithfulness. And I'm going to go on with the rest of them in just a second. I went to my daughter. I'm writing some little articles if you've been to the website. The one this week is on pain and suffering. If you haven't had a chance to look at it, look at it. Don't look at it because I did it. Look at it, okay? But it's a good article. But before that, my daughter, I don't know if you know, my daughter works for CNN, and she's a senior journalist in New York. So I thought she'd be a nice person to go to and get her to proofread my things and do this. She sent me a whole list of questions. I'm not even using her anymore, okay? She wanted me, Dad, what do you want it to say? What do you want? I said, well, honey, you know about baptism. The article is baptism necessary for salvation? And I said, well, you know the answer to that one. She said, well, Dad, you can. So I'm not using my daughter on those articles. So if you see any errors in there, it's because I tried with my daughter, okay? And I'm not going to even mention my wife, okay? My wife likes it when I finish, okay? Okay. So make sure you take a look at those articles because I think that they're good and you might be able to use them. I cut and paste them and send them to friends and other people who might be in need of those kinds of things. So I think at this particular point, we understand what the works of the flesh are all about. And what we want to do is try to find the solutions to them. And down here, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. King James Version says long suffering, kindness. We have to be kind to one another. We have to use kind words with one another. These are some of the works. These are some of the fruits that the Holy Spirit wants us to impart on each other. Being kind to others. It goes on and talks about being gentle with one another. This is some of the evidence that proves that we are Christian on how we treat and behave others. This is how we attract other people. If I treat Brother Herman like he is nothing, how am I going to convince somebody to come into the Lord's church and they see how I treat him? First thing on my mind would be, I'm next. We have to keep that in mind, that we have these fruits that the Holy Spirit wants us to be as Christians. And we have to develop those, and we have to work on them. Because some of these things, these works of the flesh, come naturally to us. For example, if I offend Brother Lee, it's natural inclination to try to get even with me. So one of the fruits of the flesh, I have to find a way to what? Not try to do this vengeance against him. Try to heap coals of fire on his head. Try to find some way to win him over. I can't ignore and not speak to him next Sunday because he crossed me. I'm going to make sure I don't speak to him so he can feel the pain. Okay? We can't have that type of attitude as Christians. I got to make sure Brother Lee, the first one I speak to when I get there next Sunday. I got to make sure he's the first one. I got to seek him out. Because if it's going to be some type of chasm between him and I want it to fall on him and not me. I got to make sure. And we as brothers and sisters have to have that attitude. Let's go on with these. And it talks about against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We have got to bring those passions and desires that we have under control if we want to see and make heaven our home. If you turn over to Matthew 5, verses 27 to 28, Jesus goes a little bit further. Under the law, you had to commit adultery in order for you to be convicted of a sin. Under the old law of Moses, I could look at a woman, lust at her all I wanted to. But if you look at Jesus, took it a little bit further. If you lust at a woman in your heart, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So you no longer have to do the act. And you go on a little bit later, Matthew, the 5th chapter, 21 and 22, talks about if you hate your brother, you don't have to kill him. Under the old law, you could wish a tree fell on him or anything else. But under God's law, if we hate our brother, it is the same thing as murder. And in Matthew 5:31 through 33, it talks about divorce, and it goes on to talk about those things. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. We can see these things in the lives of others, and we have to make sure that we root these things out of our lives. In closing, I wanted to bring this out from the standpoint to make sure that if we claim to be Christians, people ought to be able to see God in us. They ought to be able to see God in us and nothing else. Christians are in God. Christ is in Christians. Christians are in Christ. The Holy Spirit is in Christians. Christians are in the Holy Spirit. The mind of Christ is in Christians. And the Word of Christ is in Christians. If we run into a situation where we have difficulty or trouble with some of these works of the flesh, all we have to do is open up our Bibles and turn to them. And they will give us the solutions of the problem. And if you turn over to 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, you'll see that anytime we run into these situations, the Bible is always going to give us a way of escape. Every time a Christian is in those sinful situations, there's a way of escape. All we have to do, if you will, is pick the proper door and not pick the other door. If you're not a Christian here this evening, we certainly would like to extend the invitation to you. And we're extending the invitation to you in such a fashion that you might have an opportunity. If you're a Christian who has not been one of those that have exhibited those fruits of the Holy Spirit, then you need to repent of that and you need to change. If you're in the audience and you're not a Christian, then you need to hear the gospel. You need to, of course, believe those things that you've heard. And you need to repent. You need to turn away from the way that you've been and become a new creature, as the scriptures tell us. And then after that, you need to confess Jesus as the Lord. Many people in the early church who confessed Jesus as Christ, the Son of the living God, were tortured and killed. You don't have that fear anymore. And then over in Romans, the 6th chapter, it talks about you need to be baptized if you want to come in contact with his death as we hope to come in contact with his resurrection one day. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come while together we stand and sing the song that Brother Lee has chosen.